This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Thinking about the two topics I've spent most of the day on, the changing nature of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, where players are transferring with ease and moving to bigger, if not better, schools, opportunities, leaving mid-majors, leaving kind of the mid-tier of the college basketball tournament in the dust. And whether that'll change, I mean, it's kind of the first year where it's been quite this way. And then from that, NFL draft, talking to Sal earlier, and he made the comparison to what college sports is now is as if in football they took away the salary cap and I suppose also took away the draft. You could just go after anybody you want. In sports, in the year 2025, this is known as the Dodgers. Sure, there's a tax that they pay, and yeah, other teams do get players, but the Dodgers have this kind of a dominance, you know, in terms of building their team over everyone else. And a lot of that is, you know, their willingness, of course, different than any other sport right now will allow. I don't know. What would it be like if they just took all the limitations off? If not, get rid of the draft. They'll never get rid of the draft, I want to say, because the draft is its own big event. The NFL has made the draft, I mean, they're going to Lambeau this year, right on the field in Green Bay. They're going to stadiums now, and the draft has been a big deal for many years, but maybe bigger than ever. So, you know, it's interesting to think about what it would be without a draft, where players could, you know, negotiate their own opportunities, their own deals with any team, like free agents can do. I would miss the draft, but I've always kind of thought that this would be actually more fair if it did go that way. You know, we're doing the best we can here with the cap, trying to keep it competitive, and you know, for the most part, at least football-wise, not so much baseball, where lesser teams just pocket the money. Better this way than that. But that's kind of what the college thing is now, right? Where players can just, Sal mentioned, Scottie Pippen's son transferring from, or you know, choosing to enter the portal, transferring from Michigan today. And Michigan is still alive in the tournament, so I don't know. It's pretty crazy. Not great for the fans, I think. But you do have, I mean, I heard I don't really follow it until the tournament, but I heard Duke described as the best team in the last 20 years in the sport. And what I saw yesterday against my wife's alma mater, Baylor, I guess they kind of looked like it. It might be true. 803-0550 is the number. First call I took today was from a listener who wants the Bills to trade up into the top five. And I think I really disappointed this caller by saying there is just no way that's going to be possible if they wanted to do it. What would that be? Trading your entire draft plus to get to the top five? It's fun to think about. I think it's fun to think about whether a team, say, picking at five could justify it. And I'm back. I'm trade down guy. I want to say yes. Doesn't that have to apply? I mean, are there limits to when trading down is really worth it? Do I need, Sal says that the Bills have 10 picks. Are they going to use them all? Do they need 10 players out of this draft? I mean, how many have a chance to make the team? All of that, I guess this would be 20 or so, or whatever team made this hypothetical trade for somebody's entire draft for that top five pick. There's no way that's going to happen. I got the chart out earlier, and what was it? The Bills could trade pick 30 and pick 62 in round two for about the price of pick 18 in the first round. To me, this would be a very bad idea, especially when you're talking about your needs on defense, because I'll just wait. Lines are open for your calls. What do you want from the draft, which is 1 month exactly away? I said earlier how I've found it challenging so far to get to like a real certain place when it comes to this draft. Their needs are kind of obvious. I have my fun with wide receiver. It doesn't sound like the best year. The fact that their first pick each of the last 2 years were pass catchers, all the more reason to think that they would not do that a third consecutive time. Although, it's not like they've gotten a lot out of those two guys yet, so it still sort of rates as a need, I would say, on this team. But I would think, I mean, if you had 10 mock drafts, we look at them all the time. They're always on defense, almost always on defense for the Bills. And so they do that. They come out of the second day, one first-round pick, 2 seconds, no third at this point, and we'll get you a presumably starting interior defensive lineman. We'll get you a corner that has a chance to start. Even at 30, I wonder if they would have to start right away. I mean, that's a tough position to see a guy just start immediately. And these first-round picks, high picks have been often brought in kind of slowly by the Bills. So I still think there's probably going to be someone else, a veteran at that position, at least if they were to draft somebody, even in round one, I think it would probably be a competition, but who knows? So we'll get you that defensive tackle, we'll get you the corner, and then one more of something, you know, maybe even an edge rusher or linebacker, maybe an offensive lineman, you know, possibly, or a receiver even. We'll do that. And then, okay, what will it mean to my season? I mean, you have holes, you got to fill them. This is not what we've had the last couple of years. I want to say, thinking back, is referendums in the draft. Last year with the wide receiver stuff, all the names, the big board over here behind me, all the different conversations about traits and who might be the best fit for the Bills. It was Diggs is gone, Davis is gone. How much do the Bills want to invest here? Kind of a referendum on how they want to play a little bit. That's maybe more Kincaid than it is Coleman, because, you know, as I'm thinking out loud here, the Diggs thing, Diggs and Davis kind of meant that, all right, there's a gaping hole on the roster now, more like what corner looks like, or even D-line. This year feels like they're going to draft those pieces, I mean, almost definitely, first 2 days. That's where they need help. And roll into the season and be probably about the same team, which is good. But not short-term, like, huge difference makers. Just kind of, it's the draft you have to have to get there at corner, D-tackle, all of that. Just all I'm saying is this is not a draft as I sit here a month away thinking where it's just like this is make or break in any way. I think you do what you need to do these first two rounds and then see what you get. Sometimes you'll hit a home run and sometimes it's Kyrie Elam. You know, you really can't know. But that's kind of how I see this going for them, is just kind of like one of those drafts where you're not, you don't really have, it's not luxury pick time or anything like that. We've had a year or two where the Bills were so well set, they could just do a lot of different things in the draft. So years, it's felt different than this one. I've brought up, and I'd like your opinion on this too, whatever it might be, like whether it's in terms of Kansas City or something else pertaining to the AFC. I mentioned it with Tyler Dunn earlier, how it's for the last couple of years, and for the last five even, back to Allen, back to Mahomes, back to Lamar Jackson, when these three guys all, like almost right away, Allen was a year, almost right away hit so well, did so well that their teams went right to the top. And they're not old or anything yet. So I just wonder how long that kind of stranglehold on the conference will be the case. And if you want to put, like Tyler did, Cincinnati into that group too, because of Burrow, same kind of thing. I suppose you can do that. Might be right to. But it's just unusual for the league to go such a length of time without some kind of, you know, reshuffling, if you will, in the conference. We've got these top teams, and, you know, we're glad for this around here. We've got these top teams who have been so consistent and so excellent. And now you've got, you know, you've got a half a dozen or so teams that just feel like, can you even imagine them being good? Well, try that. Because today when I brought this up, I asked it of Tyler, and I kind of was a little bit hesitant in a couple of cases because I could imagine it. Like, I can't imagine it with Jacksonville. Not great, but good, you know, playoffs, that kind of a bounce back from Lawrence. We've talked about New England for this, and I think they're a little bit interesting. New coach, the quarterback is promising. They still have, you know, talent needs, and they haven't done a lot about that. They haven't been able to. It was going to be T. Higgins maybe, and then he stays in Cincinnati. And a couple of other, Ayuk was one, although he's under contract with the Niners, a couple of other rumors. But the Patriots, I mean, the last I heard, it was Diggs in for a visit. And did that even happen? If it did.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
I missed it. So there's still a long way to go there, I think, for New England. The Jets, Bulldogs not here to make fun of me, because for a few years, at least the Rodgers years, I talked myself into that the Jets would be tough, and they were not, as you know. So I don't want to sound like that again. But I kind of like, I'm glad that they're going to, that Fields is going to get a chance. Most people, including Bulldog, if he were here to say it, he would say it, are not betting on that to work. But I want to see, you know, Pittsburgh really didn't do it. Chicago was destined to fail. Coach didn't start him right away. Then you've got coaching changes, just constant turmoil, destined to fail. No chance. This, at least, I hope for him and, you know, for fans, is one where they just sort of let him play. And no looking over your shoulder all the time, no constant discussion about when he's coming out. I'd like to see that for him. I mean, I don't know how many wins that is. So maybe there's a good season in there. They do have some good talent, New York. Cleveland is a really hard one for me to even like imagine. How does it happen? Do they draft Shedeur Sanders at 2 and it's Kenny Pickett? And he just, none of it sounds good to me. I'm not like down on Sanders. I don't know what it's going to be, but none of that sounds good to me. The fact that they kept Garrett too and just didn't commit to recouping some draft picks, just trying to live out the Watson years and get to a, you know, a healthier place, if you will. It's just really hard for me to see the AFC North, to see the Browns, you know, not being terrible, even with the second overall pick in this draft. Pittsburgh, everybody's kind of on the same page with Pittsburgh, which is probably mid, right? Aaron Rodgers, no Aaron Rodgers. They've been the same for, you know, several years in a row. Good enough to get in. That's not like, that doesn't really qualify as terrible either, what the Steelers have been these last few years. They've been in the playoffs. We've had this argument during the reverse AFC power rankings. I really would never want to be them, but, you know, they're not the worst. So you have those teams. You have Tennessee picking at 101. Today was Miami's pro day, University of Miami, Cam Ward, and several other guys. And I guess Tennessee, I read, was all over it, even having like their PR film crew people there to shoot Cam Ward, you know. Certainly starting to look like he will be their first overall pick, not just the 101 after a trade, that the Titans might want him. Do you think Levis has any trade value if they were to do that? Could they get, could a team want to try on Will Levis? Still young. I mean, not great, but some talent. Maybe a team would want to do that if Tennessee didn't want him around as like sort of, it's kind of a weird backup, you know? The young quarterback you're moving on from, you bring in the first overall pick in the draft. You might rather have someone more experienced in that role, if it can be possible. And who do I leave out? The Raiders. The Raiders are going to be interesting. Maybe not good, but look at the changes they've made with Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, Geno Smith making that trade. I mean, if you're thinking long-term as a rebuilding project, you're not doing any of those things. You're not hiring the league's oldest coach. You know, you're not getting Chip Kelly at that point, unless you're making him the head coach, I suppose. And you're definitely not trading for Geno Smith, which is what they did. So I wonder what the ceiling is for Vegas. I want to think that it's like possible that that all works. Smith has been very good, most accurate quarterback in the league the last couple of years. And with high draft picks to go with Bowers, running back Genty makes sense. A good wide receiver in round 2, something like that, makes Vegas interesting. So all these teams, whatever it is that like is kind of the best case for them, there's still the matter of, okay, well, there's a lot of improvement possible here for some of these teams. I mean, they're coming from the bottom. But how good could they be? Could they really challenge for an AFC title? Could they really? I mean, in 1 year, probably not. But it does seem like the conference is pretty stretched out. And I just know eventually that's going to, you know, push back a little bit. Whether it happens this year or not, we'll see. 803-0550 for your calls. Talking to Sal earlier, one question I had for him was about Christian Benford and James Cook, and just when would you start to worry about the contract stuff? Now, the number one thing with this is that they both have a contract for this year. So if they want to hold out and not get paid and get fined and all of that, then that could be what happens, but it's not like they don't have a deal already. So you've got that to think about too. Benford seems like he's positioned to do great, just maybe a matter of time for that. I just wonder if, and it's really just a question, but if these two players not having new contracts, like long-term, whatever that might be, 3-4 years or more maybe for Benford, done already, might make you wonder just what kind of, you know, how close the two sides might be if they're talking. Bean didn't exactly shut down the question about Benford, I think it was, or even Cook. last time he spoke a couple of weeks ago. He didn't exactly shut it down, but he did say kind of curtly, I'm not negotiating these in public, right? So maybe a different, it's a judgment call, maybe a different vibe a little bit than, you know, it's close, it'll get done, anything like that. He talked about Benford in an interesting way that one time, like how excited he is about him, you know, long-term and all this kind of thing, but it didn't exactly sound like a new contract for him was imminent. Again, just kind of a guess. And then there's our old friend, the topic of James Cook and his salary. And I kind of want this, just out of curiosity, to go past the draft. Because I want to see if the Bills would bring someone in the draft. And they probably should. They usually do anyway. Whatever their running back room looks like, they've drafted one, including Cook in his turn a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago now, end of the second round. They've done this every year. And either they think this is a year where they don't have to, because of the season Cook had, and they get a contract with him done, whatever, like he's a core piece, or they do it anyway. And that's probably Saturday, round four, round five. It's just every draft analyst is super hyped for these backs, including my guest on Friday, Scott Barrett, who, I mean, he couldn't really say enough about the number of really talented running back options there are in the draft. And he's to the Bills, he said something like, of course they should draft one of them. So I'm curious for that. I mean, I'm thinking about fantasy football too, but everywhere in the NFL, even teams that have established stars at the position, like Philadelphia, for starters, and they just paid Barkley another new contract, record stuff, maybe the last team in the league that you'd think would want a running back from this draft. But with all the injuries at the position and all the talent this year, I kind of don't think I could name a team that I would say shouldn't do it. Not never too high. Not talking round one. I mean, Genty is a special prospect, apparently, and he'll go even as high as six, I guess, in this draft, or even higher. Some people think like him for New England at four. So he's going to be an exception here, but man, 10, 20 running backs rounds three through the end. I think it's always like a pretty cheap, smart investment for a team to do with all the injuries and this year, all the talent. So if Cook, either way, I mean, this doesn't have to mean anything, but if he's still unsigned by the draft, all the more reason maybe to speculate on what the Bills might do at that position. I think I'll want to see them draft somebody on day three. And as I just said, I think I want to see every team draft one of them on day three. It might be just that deep. Just, we can't trade the whole draft for a top five pick, unfortunately, to the caller's idea from earlier. Not going to be possible. We'll take a break here, have the update, and then bring Paul on. The Sabres are home to Dylan Cousins and Ottawa tomorrow night. A split for the Sabres over the weekend, losing in Minnesota and then winning yesterday in Winnipeg. It's a nice win as they continue their heroic effort to try to eclipse 79.5 points. Just a random hypothetical number. By the way, the Bisons open on Friday. Still March, yes, but their season opener is at home Friday at 2 o'clock. Major League Baseball, it's Thursday. We've already had the two games in Tokyo, but for most, maybe everybody else, it's Thursday. The Yankees have Milwaukee at home to start their season. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Paul will join me after sports here on WGR.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.